Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood was away the stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. That's what we try to live by, so that we would be able to give away freely what we've received freely. And that's why we do this, to be able to reach men that we know that are on the internet, that are on their computers throughout the day, and that this is an alternative location for you rather than some of those other sites that will just lure you into more darkness. In the studio with me today to be able to take care of the business at hand, I got Duke here. Good to have you, bro.
It is good to be here. Thank you.
All right. We got a topic today that you had brought up. Said, hey, what do we do? What do we do as followers of Jesus when we seem to be losing the battle? It feels like we're losing the battle. And you, if that's news to you, stay tuned, because we'll talk about all that sort of thing. And why is it a battle? Why? How did the battle begin? And et cetera, et cetera. And if you guys know that already, you might be surprised at some of the things that might be mentioned, so stay tuned. In the meantime, we always like to kind of kick things off to kind of encourage you guys, at least at the very start of the show anyway. And I'm just going to ask, do you have any encouragement?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. You know what? You ask an encourager, he has any encouragement, that's like, whatever.
Yeah, even while I'm driving here this morning and I'm thinking of today's topic, and I thought of, where's the encouragement in this proposal for even me? Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me that we serve a God that will not leave us, will not forsake us, doesn't leave us standing, doesn't forget us, mm-hmm. forgives us over and over and over, even with our stupidity. Mm-hmm. And what an encouragement there was in that for me, in that it struck me that it really didn't matter what was going on. Mm. I could take that to his throne room. I could lay it at the cross, and I would be encouraged. Mm-hmm. Because you can't take the promise away. Mm. He'll never go away. Mm-hmm. You could absolutely count on having, Lord, hear those prayers as you are asking for encouragement, maybe when you're not feeling all that abundant. Yeah. So to me, that's where I went this morning. I thought, you know, I'm feeling abundant. It's a beautiful day, all that other stuff. And then I start thinking about why the topic came to mind. And I thought, well, what do I do? Well, I'm encouraged by going to prayer and knowing without a doubt that there's a hope that cannot be taken away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's there no matter what. That's one of the promises that is so important to us, because it's vital for us to realize that. It's no different than as some of us are fathers, okay? And when you become a father, you'll never forget that child.
No.
It doesn't matter if they are in another part of the country or another part of the world, or, you know, just for whatever reason not with you. You don't forget them. You know them. They're on your mind often. Can you imagine God, who created us, the intricate parts of every part of us? See, we think we're the creators of our children. No, you're just the
vessel.
Yeah, vessel being used in a sense. Yeah. Okay, good analogy. And in essence, if we end up taking, if we build something. As a man, you build something with your hands. You put something together and create it and put it together. You're going to not forget that. You're going to remember that, mm-hmm. whatever it is, okay? It doesn't matter. Well, that same intensity and desire for life, in a sense, for our children, we just go, oh, man, you know, I will not ever forget them. You know, I'm going to love them no matter what. Okay. They may be unlovable, and I may not, and they may seem that I'm unlovable at times, but no different. I discipline my children because I love them, not because I think they deserve to be in pain or in harm, but because I love them.
Amen.
And so that comes in a lot of different, comes and looks different ways depending on the situation and everything. So our Father in heaven loves us so much that he gave his son up to die for us, okay, to go through that scourge and to carry our sin, okay, so that we would have that eternal life with him, okay? And that's what this thing is all about, so.
That's exactly, that is what you do, what we do here is all about.
That's it.
And why is that? That's because we hear so many voices that are so deceiving from the dark side that are all lies, all around us that pull us off track. Man, we need that assurance.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, hey, let's just segue right into our topic here. I open up, have my Bible with the what is that called?
A bookmark.
No, but it's attached
to the
Bible.
It's a string bookmark, yeah.
There's a name for it.
It's the pretty bookmark. What do you want?
Pretty? I don't know. Every Bible I've seen that is pretty.
I don't know what they call those, but they work pretty good.
Yeah, there is a name, but we'll call it the bookmark. I open it up here in Proverbs 6. It says, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart, fasten them around your neck." You know, I read that because a part of what ends up taking place is that sometimes we end up forsaking our mother's teachings, right? And we don't pay attention to the commands that our fathers give us, right? And we go down a path that we believe is to be right, okay? And as the Bible says, we only find usually destruction or death, depending on what that is. You brought up a topic about how do we deal with when we feel like we're losing the battle? I know you had some thoughts on your mind, so I just read that because it was right in front of me, and it kind of, I felt it had a little bit of something, it kind of had some meaning to what we were talking about here, too. So anyway.
Well, I was challenged with, I guess, with something, as you and I know, that different men come to us with different challenges, and we have to reflect on our own strengths of how did I overcome that challenge so that we can pass that on, right?
Yes.
So I'm talking with this brother just a couple of days ago, and what prompted this whole thing was this guy I would count as, from a scale of 1 to 10, a 10 when it comes to living for God and having that life. But yet here this man found himself in a place of great despair and in a place where he said to me, he says, "I don't know what to do." And it about took me out of my chair because I would go to this man for my strength and mentoring. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, so nobody's immune, right? We all get beat up, kicked out. And so right away I started thinking, well, where are the scriptures that you go to help a guy out with something like that? And one of the ones that came to mind to me was Isaiah 40, and I think it's actually 29 through 31. Let me get to it here. Almost there. There it is. "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases his strength. Even youths shall be faint and weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings, with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This was the encouragement that I went to because this guy felt like, man, I just got the wind knocked out of me and stomped on, and I'm having trouble picking myself up. So that's what kind of started me thinking about, gee whiz, where can you go where you are assured that you're going to receive what it is that God has in store for you? So then the proposal came, okay, good, bad, or different, it's all for him, right? Mm-hmm. And where do we go with that? So as we counseled longer, I started becoming even more strengthened and more encouraged by this brother's challenges. Rather than kind of like, yeah, I know, yeah, that's right. You know, I was drawn to say, now, wait a minute. If it was me coming to you, what would you be saying to me? Mm-hmm. And that's how the conversation started to go.
Right, right. And that's where, you know, so often we, as men, it's difficult for us to admit that we need help sometimes. Wouldn't you agree? Majority of men, we don't want to ask for help.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we'd rather cut off our arm or whatever, you know, than to ask for help sometimes. And even when we end up in a time of our life where maybe like your friend is the one that people go to for the encouragement, for the guidance, for the exhortation, okay? And then all of a sudden he's in a position where he's needs it rather than giving it. He has nothing to give. There's been discouragement in his life, okay? So instead of encouragement, he's discouraged. And as a result of that, so what do you do when you're totally discouraged? There can be things that we're looking at that and dealing with on a daily basis that we get discouraged. Say, you know what? I'm just not gonna do that anymore. You know, I get discouraged with, I mean, simple things that have nothing to do with huge things in life. But, I mean, like driving. Who doesn't get discouraged with the other drivers? Somebody always ends up, you know, crossing our path and going, why are they even on this? I don't even want to be doing this. You know, I don't want to be driving. I want to take a helicopter and go up over everybody and come down where I need to go. You know, I want my comfort.
Oh, right? Yes.
And that's where sometimes we end up realizing, at least I do, I should say, that, you know, it's not about me. Even though I may say that and even act like that at times, but there are times when I falter to where, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? I don't understand, you know?
Well, you know, and that was part of our conversation. Actually, both of us recanted two major experiences in our lives. You know, the experts will say that if you experience a death, a divorce, a going to prison, these are your top stressors that take you out.
Mm-hmm.
And as this brother and I were talking, we agreed that both of us had had two pretty big stressors. Both had been to prison. Both had had some other issues that really almost completely took us out.
Yes.
And when you think about that, you think, oh, man, so how come it didn't? Mm-hmm. How come it didn't take me out? Is it because God had a greater purpose for me and he saved me even in my own, you know, stupidity or mm-hmm. ignorance or whatever that looks like? Because he's got the master plan, not us. But nevertheless, we had to. And so then we said, okay, we've got through two major events that are supposed to take somebody out. You're being discouraged today. Well, what if a third one comes along? What if a fourth one? Why would it be any different? And persevering through that. So I Googled the word perseverance in my Bible app, and it only came up with one in Ephesians 6:18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. It's like, well, of course that's what you do. That's what I do. Here we're having this conversation, and the first thing that we should be talking about is what can we take to prayer? How can we bring this to the Lord? Mm-hmm. How can you help us do this
mm-hmm.
kind of thing?
You know, and a big part of what ends up taking place is, and you mentioned it already, is that we don't know why the Lord allows certain things to take place
in
our lives. But there is, if I truly trust him, okay, and have faith that he is, you know, all of this is for, there's a reason behind it, okay? I may not see it right now because my eyes are covered over or hardened in a sense or layered or whatever. I don't see clearly enough. And we don't sometimes. The Lord does test us. He tests us to see where our faith is in certain areas. Okay. He did that with Job. Did he not? I mean, we read the story of Job. We sit there and a lot of people don't want to, I'm not going to read that because I'm not Job and I don't have all these, all the stuff that in my life and so on and so forth. But then all of a sudden, you know, it's like Satan had gone to the Lord, said, hey, I've been going all over the earth. I'm looking for somebody to be able to test. And, of course, the Lord said, have you mentioned my brother Duke?
Yeah.
My son Duke, yeah. Right? And then all of a sudden, things start taking place in Duke's life. Or Raul's, or yours, Bill's, or Henry, whoever's listening, right? The fact is that God allows certain things to take place. You had mentioned it earlier in our encouragement that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. There's nothing that can separate us from his love, okay? That he's always there. That if we just maintain, persevere, okay? I think persevere itself, you'll find that a few more times in the Bible than persevered. Perseverance,
yeah.
Okay, you'll find that a few more times, where he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You believe in me, so continue to believe in me. Keep moving forward. Now, in Job's situation, I mean, he lost everything. He lost his family, everything that he owned. The enemy took, and even gave him a disease, boils or whatever, that were on him. You know, I'm sitting there going, my goodness. And he still stuck it out, even despite his friends who did really well until they opened their mouth for a few days.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden he had to rebuke them at the very end.
Yes.
And then go on from there. And what did the Lord do? He gave him twice as much as what he had before. Because he maintained that faith. All right. Now, how do we get to do that? Well, I can tell you right now, if I'm stuck by myself without anybody else around,
yes,
and I've got stuff going on in my life, I'm in trouble.
Yes, I agree.
I'm in trouble. There's nothing that's going to be able to reach me because I'm not going to let anything in. Sure, I'll take in, I'll watch things on the internet, I'll stay busy looking at TV and things.
You mean that, you can't just suck it up and rationalize that you're in this place and go open your Bible and
And some people get, they try to forget all that stuff by using alcohol, drugs, food, work, gambling, what you name it. All the sins that we've all gone through. Sometimes those are the things that try to fill this hole in the gut. And we have different reasons they're excuses for not participating and being around those who are not attempting to do that. Which is a very challenging thing.
Oh, man.
Okay? But let's do this. When we get back from the break, let's talk about this sort of thing, because so often we find ourselves, whether we realize or not, going, what am I doing? Well, it's not so much what am I doing, what am I not doing? I know what that is. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
If God didn't want us to eat bacon, why in tarnation would he have made pigs? Ain't no way I'm giving up my bacon or ham or bratwurst from Hempler's Meats. They're just too good to go without. And Hempler's knows you care about your family's health, so they only use all natural ingredients. Make sure you have your Hempler sausage, dogs, and brats all ready to grill. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com. You'll be as happy as a room full of kids seeing a substitute teacher on test day.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com, caneslawnandgarden.com.
FaithPlace.org, Biblical Advice Talk Radio.
When I started listening to you, I started finding that guidance of how to get closer with God and how to rely on him.
It keeps my feet grounded.
I listen to the podcast while I work.
It's a refreshing feel for me because there's a lot of times I get tunnel vision. You know, I think it's only happening to me or it's a... this is the way that it has to be, and there, all of a sudden there's another perspective.
It's convenient. I can listen whenever I want, and I can stop, and I can rewind, and I can listen to old shows and listen to new shows. There's no one that I know that would tell me the things that you guys say in your podcast, the things that I needed to hear.
If you've been helped through our internet talk show ministry, Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show, please make it possible for us to continue reaching out with the hope of Christ. Make a tax-deductible donation by clicking on the purple Donate button at faithplace.org.
When you feel like you're alone in your sadness, and it seems like no one in this whole world cares, and you want to get away from the madness, you just call my name.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio and Duke and Raul. And we're talking about, you know, what do we do as men when we all of a sudden feel like we're thrown not only a curve, but the lights go out. It's a night game and all the lights go out. And now you can't even hit the ball. You can't even see the ball. The lights are out. What's going on? You know, and you have no control over some things. Some things that you just sit there and you go, wow, I'd be able to hit that ball if I was able to see it, but we have no light, so I can't even play it, the game, right?
Well, it was that feeling of that I know that a lot of listeners have felt, because we have, that time when you do feel great despair. You do feel maybe a little sense of hopelessness. What struck me most, Raul, was the fact that in our first part of our conversation, when he kind of lays out what's on his heart, the fact that he said, I don't know what to do, challenged me with, as most men, you want to answer, you want to minister, you want to repair. Same as when something's going wrong with our kids or we want to go fix it, right? Mm-hmm. So my first inclination was, what can I tell this brother that will get him past this place where he says, I don't know what to do, and here's a guy that knows the word.
But we need to be reminded. It doesn't matter, because sometimes, depending on how deep something is, we still need to be reminded of what is important, okay? I mean, in Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, okay, the Lord used John to speak to us and to tell us that, I hold this against you. You forgot your first love.
Yes, it does say that.
Okay?
Yes.
So what it comes down to is that we, somewhere along the line, I've taken the Lord off the top of my priority ladder, in a sense, okay? That something else, which all of a sudden became my distress and my problems, became greater than him, okay? And I'm focusing on them. You know, it's no different. Whatever it is that I'm focusing on, that's what I'm going to be thinking of most of the time.
Amen.
So
amen.
If I'm worried and thinking about the problems and the challenges of my life, guess what? I'm going to be overwhelmed because I can't come up with an idea, and I don't want to talk to anybody about it because I don't want anybody else to know what's going on in my life, because they'll think I'm weak and I don't know what's going on. This is something that just cuts men's legs off every time. I mean, it just does. It takes us out because of my own pride and will keep me from humbling myself and saying, you know, what is it I need? And asking somebody else. And really, it's no different. Think about the very first time that we accepted the Lord as our Savior and our Lord. Man, we were humbled. There's a part and a time in our life when we knew we needed him.
Yes.
We knew that, and it was time. And that's what we need to, once again, when we get to that place of being overwhelmed, is going to him.
Well, you know, and I thought about even putting that proposal out there. Because I meet with men that are, let's say, not veterans to the walk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this guy, veteran to the walk.
Yeah, yeah.
So I couldn't maybe, or I didn't feel that was an appropriate sharing because he knows. I mean, the guy knows the word. He knows what he's supposed to be doing. But yet he found himself in a place of such despair that the hope wasn't alive.
You ever been with somebody when they're going through something, they start to act just like an idiot, and you're sitting there and go, what is going on? And then you sometimes just have to push them or touch them, or sometimes you slap them.
Yes, yes.
Okay? What are you doing? You know, I'm trying to wonder why you're acting like this. You're trying to knock some sense into them, in a sense.
Yeah.
Okay? A reality. Say, hey, man, you're talking gibberish. You don't even know what's going on. Now, you don't physically have to nail your brother. That's what I'm... My point is that sometimes it's a matter of bringing in the Word of God, but sometimes it's important. This is where discernment comes in. This is where I believe as followers of Christ, if we, in your scenario, when we have a brother that is seeking something from us, maybe just our presence. Just like Job, his friends came and he loved that. They just sat with him for a few days.
Yes.
And he just kept on praying and talking about why he needed to trust in God and et cetera, et cetera. He loved that. Sometimes the best thing that we can do is just be there for somebody. It's not that we need to come up with an answer. They have to go through the process of what they need to go through. They just need to know that they're not alone, that they're not forsaken. Yes, we can believe that about our Lord, and we may have experienced that in the past, but when you're in the midst of things, you forget about all those basic things, okay?
You do, and the release, later on I was thinking about the release of this for this guy. How does he wasn't turning it over all the way. He was doing what you just said. He was wrestling with it. He was struggling, saying, what do I have to do? Why is this happening? Have I not been obedient enough? Am I going through testing? He's going through it, and he's just jamming himself up big time. Mm-hmm. My heart's just going out to the guy because he's getting all wrapped around the drive line for no reason, mm-hmm. and he's the one spinning the wheels.
Yeah.
And it was so much like Satan. I visited it, Raul. I mean, I could see myself, as some of the listeners might be able to, where there was those times when you had the day before, you had such great hope. And we're so encouraged, and then bang, you get the phone call or whatever that happens, and you just feel like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through this one that Satan just stepped in and just, you know, hit him hard. It's, as I reflected more and more on that, I started getting a little bit angry, like that I felt like kind of slapping him a little bit, because he had wrote this kind of note that he showed me. He says, I just wrote this morning, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been like a suicide note. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading this note, and I start tearing up. Going, how does, and my thought was, Raul, was how does a guy that either seeking or knows God, how does he get to a place where he's like ready to give up? Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be because he just wasn't reaching out. It's mm-hmm. that pride, the ego,
right.
the all that, I got this, you know, mm-hmm. me and the Lord, we got this.
Mm-hmm.
But yet here he found himself in that place.
Yeah, yeah. So often if we look about and we read through Scripture, and we see Jesus has had experienced things similar to this. The loss of Lazarus, okay?
Okay.
Who was a good friend of his, okay? And he loved him so much. But he knew that if he had gone too soon, that let's go because he's ill, he's sick. And he says, no, let's wait a few days, okay? The Lord knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Lazarus needed to die so that Jesus would be able to show others that he can raise him from the dead. Okay? He needed to die. He needed to come and listen to his sisters come and cry to him, where have you been, Robani? If you were here, he would not be dead. Okay? And Jesus didn't say anything. He just went about business. He cried. He wept over him. Okay, with them, he mourned, and then he went about the business of raising him from the dead. My point being is that the Lord has a plan in all things. He wants to work, he wants reconciliation, he wants the very best for us. Is he not the Father? Do we not, I mean, we read in Scripture where in Matthew, it talks about how, you know, we give our sons good gifts and so on and so forth, you know, and we're evil. I mean, we're sinful and so on and so forth. So why, if we went to the Father and asked him for some food or for something, that he would just give us a rock?
Yes.
Or something that is not edible, you know, or give us a snake or whatever, you know? That's, you know, that's my little, how that looks. My point being is that the reminder is for us to remind others, okay, or in this case here, the brother saying, you know, he loves you. You don't have to say anything more than that. He's not going to leave you. And I'm just going to pray for you. And I'm going to continue praying. But maybe part of what needs to take place is that the brother needs to be able to just share how he's feeling. he trusted you enough to show you a note that he wrote that said, "Hey, man, look, I'm so busted up, man. This is how I feel."
That's what it was.
It may not be what he's going to do, but this is how I feel. Okay? Can you imagine Job? He lost all his children, okay, in destruction, okay, that the enemy had done. Lost all of his riches. And then he eventually lost his wife. And yet he maintained a faith of persevering through all of that, of trusting in God, that you must have something in store here. I'm going to trust in you and believe in you because I believe in your word. And we all sit there and go, "But I'm not Job." Really? Have you ever not gone through something and knowing that I'm just going to trust, I'm going to believe, I'm going to wait a little bit longer? I'm going to wait on the Lord just a little bit longer. I'm going to wait on the Lord just a little bit longer. It says for us to wait on him. So we get so anxious, and the world continues to just keep pounding, and the pressure seems to be coming on all the time. And that's where, if nothing else, our prayers, that's why the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Okay.
Well, what we ended up, I'm going to say, deciding at that fellowship was that he was worthy of this kind of attack, that certainly if he wasn't threatening, you know, Satan in some way by loving God, that probably the attack wouldn't feel quite the way that it does. Mm-hmm. So it was, okay, let's uncover the blessing in this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we began to kind of just break it down a little bit. And what he needed is what you just said. He needed somebody to remind him. This guy knew it. He'd found himself dwelling on all the negatives and not bringing it to God,
right.
So much so. It's kind of, and you know, we do that a little bit, I think. It's kind of like when I'm angry. I know that I can take this to Jesus and say, "Lord, help me. I do not want to be angry. This is not from your kingdom. It's from the dark side." But you know what? Sometimes I want to be angry for a while.
Yes.
It takes me a day or several hours before I can finally say, okay. It's almost like you're blinded by your emotion that you can't emotionally bring yourself about to go, okay, here's the solution. I open my Bible and I'm going to pray and the Holy Spirit will guide me to the right scripture and I'll feel great in an hour. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. So what we decided was that these were times of refinement that we should rejoice about.
Yes.
That even though it seemed like there was no way out of this plastic bag, that God does provide a way every time. And he was listening to lies.
Let's go back to the Word of God where I believe, again, Jesus experiences something that we experience in times like your brother is talking about or going through right now.
Okay.
In the book of Mark, chapter 15, he says, "At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" God hadn't forsaken him.
Hmm.
But that separation from God.
But even Jesus felt that.
That's Jesus. That's what he's saying. You know, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried it out, okay? Because he felt like going through all, I mean, he's near death. He's a man. He's a human being. But he is God. But he went through this so that we would be able to understand that first and foremost, Christ died for us, yet even in his darkest, deepest moment of his life, which seemed to be coming to an end, and it was, that he said, "Lord, you have forsaken me. My God, why? Why have you forsaken me?" Okay? So, but he hadn't, but that's how he felt.
Yes.
That's how he felt.
Now, he knew deep down that God had not, but yet he's crying that out.
You know, again, once again, you've got, here it is, you know, here's Jesus, the Son of God, but he was a man, went through the same emotions and the same feelings and everything as us, because if he hadn't, we would not be able to relate with what's going on and what he's saying. We say, "But yeah, but he's God." No, that was taken away. He was separated from God. When he was on that cross and taking on those, that's part of the anguish that he felt in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying, and he knew what he was going to be going into, okay? And there was probably some fear because God had there was that separation. I mean, he sweat blood from his body, okay? The anguish was so deep. And so in doing so, that separation, God separated himself from it. He took on all of God's wrath. God's wrath went upon Jesus for our sins so that we would be excused and forgiven of our sins so that we would have eternal life with him. Jesus took all of this all on. God's wrath. We took God's wrath for the things that we did, brother. You and I would not be alive right now.
Yeah, okay? The truth.
And there would be a whole lot more. And yet there's times when we sit there and go, my goodness, what can I learn from this? The thing that I can pull from here is that when I'm crying out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, you know, that someone's going to say, listen, man, the Lord's not forsaking you. He's not forsaking you. He separated himself from Jesus so that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, the lamb, and as he was separated from the Lord, we don't have to be that way ourselves any longer. He took it all on, so we don't have to experience that. But in our own heads, we do, because we need to be reminded. I better stop preaching, start getting into a commercial.
Come on.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Hi, this is Raul Chavez, founder of Band of Brothers for Christ in Bellingham. And if you're a man living in our area, I'm inviting you to enjoy a free barbecue and a uniquely inspiring atmosphere for men on Tuesday nights. The men of Band of Brothers for Christ come from dozens of different churches and gather together at 6 p.m. every Tuesday night at Christ Community Church, located on the corner of Guide and Horton Roads. You'll enjoy a time of eating together, developing meaningful relationships with other men, getting inspired and equipped by God's Word, hearing amazing, radically transparent testimonies from other courageous men. Be courageous yourself and come and check us out on Tuesday night. You'll find more information at bandofbrothersforchrist.org. bandofbrothersforchrist.org. Looking forward to seeing you on a Tuesday night. There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at StarTouch.com. You are the air I breathe. You are the song I bleed. You are the war that I can win. This is my white flag in the wind. Every word you speak is the air I breathe. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul. And, you know, there was a time where I would apologize for my little, that wasn't ranting, just going on. And I don't do that anymore because, you know what, so often we are talking about, not just in the situation, in the topic itself, but in our lives today, we're talking about a matter of life and death. Because of the decisions we make based on what we think is the right thing to do will actually either going to take us toward destruction or it's going to take us toward life.
Amen. Amen.
And this is not messing around because there are people, there are men who are listening, who are sitting there and go, man, I am so tired. I feel like I'm powerless over you know, the pornography. I'm powerless over being able to drink like a normal person. There's no such thing, by the way. I'm powerless over being able to find the right job. I can't get along with people. My wife seems to, you know, my kids and all, there's all of these things. Well, maybe that what it comes down to is that I not only do I need to trust in God, but I need to seek Him. I need to get on my knees and I need to ask Him to take over my life. Because my life is in shambles. But I need to be able to allow you to be able to guide me. To be willing to allow you to guide me through everything that I'm doing. See, He's the answer to everything. Now, yes, many of you can sit here and say all kinds of things as you're listening to this, saying, yeah, but that's easy for you to say. Brother, I've been there and I've done that. The fact is that when we seek Him, when I've spent everything that I have to do what I feel I can do under my own power, and it's not working, there's a reason for that. God made you for one reason. You're here on this earth for a purpose. And that purpose is to be able to go through, to make the decisions in seeking God. And sometimes, because we're in a world that tries to distract us and discourage us and gets us, luring us into other things other than to follow Jesus and to let others know of Him, we can all of a sudden fall into that same trap. Wow, I was going down a path I thought was really good. I didn't know that there was this trap. And then all of a sudden, boom. But the Lord knew that you would make that decision. And He allowed that to take place. Let me tell you something, brother. I don't know. You ever see that movie Groundhog Day?
Oh, yes. Where you got a chance to do it
over and over again, man. The guy finally just went. And he knows after a while. He's so used to it. He goes, oh. And he knows he's going to wake up and the alarm's going to go off and the day's going to get going once again. That's how we can feel our lives are sometimes. But you know what? When I give up of trying to run the show, when I give up and willing to let go and really give it to Him, okay, sure, that's a commitment for life, but, you know, how do you manage that? You do it just for today, one day at a time. That's how you manage it. And sometimes you have to break that day into hours of the day, maybe for an eight-hour period while I'm at work. Lord, help me to be able to see my coworkers the way that You see them. Help me to be able to just accept them for who they are. Help me not to get caught up in the way that they behave, to behave like them so that I'm accepted. Help me to feel strengthened by Your love and who You are in me. Lord, help me when I get home. I may be exhausted and tired, but not to take it out on the kids or on my wife. You know, Lord, I tell you what, the more often that we submit ourselves to Him, the better off we're going to end up being. It's not something that is a magical thing that all of a sudden, poof, it's all going to be better. No, brother. There might be something that the Lord wants you to look at. Maybe there is something that's going on in your life that you're doing that He is saying, Raul, I don't want this in your life. This doesn't fit anymore. It doesn't work. You need to let this go.
Yeah, many of us can go there almost immediately with, what have I done wrong? Have I not been obedient? Are You testing me? All of the above. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that when I was with this brother, and we were kind of having this conversation, I said to him, I says, are you somehow surprised? And he says, what do you mean? I said, you surprised that this challenge has come along? Like you've earned such favor with God that you're, what, immune to this kind of a battle? He's like, wow. He says, maybe God is trying to show you where you need to grow in an area that you didn't think you needed to. So it started, and this is what I do to myself, Raul, is I start to turn the proposal around to, what is my role? Have I prayed every day? Or have I used them as the fire extinguisher? Have I said, oh, man, things are really crummy now. I better pray. Okay. Instead of that, being thankful when you get up in the morning in prayer and say, whatever You have for me today, Lord, I am thankful for that. Because I know that whether I perceive it as good or bad, especially if I perceive it as bad, I know it is for my good. Man, I'll tell you what, Raul, that's a hard proposition for a guy to wrap his head around with everything that's going on in our lives.
Yes, yes.
But if we don't, then we might as well just say, okay, fine, I give up.
Yeah.
And there ain't no giving up. You can't.
Well, you know, it's funny that we have a tendency of forgetting how much that God loves us, okay?
We do.
And I got to tell you, I think one of the key things, and that's part of why we do men's ministry the way that we do it, is to let men know that they are not alone in this world. That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to think that there is nobody that cares, and you are alone, and there's not even a God there for you.
Yeah.
So you might as well just enjoy and do life the way you want. Yeah, go ahead and do this, and go ahead and do that. All these sins that you know that are would be discouraging to God to see you go through and to do. But that's what the enemy wants. You're in a battle. You're not just a battle, brother. You're in a war. You have a daily battle. We're to take up our cross, and we're to die to self on a daily basis. To be able to come to that realization that if in my death, in my dying, that God will use that to be able to help others. Wow, how does that happen? Well, he tells us in the book of James, he tells us. He lets us know in the book of Ephesians, he lets us know. He reminds us that it, and in the Gospels. I mean, Paul talked about, take this thorn from my side. He asked him three times. And the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. You just keep on with that thorn. Let that be a reminder of who you are. That's my little ad lib there.
Yes, yeah.
Okay? But the simple fact is that, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. Okay? And he, you know, as we sit there and you just go, okay. But he lets us know that when we seek other men, that we come together, we pray together, reveal our sins with each other. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Why is that? Because a righteous man's prayers are heard. An unrighteous man's prayers are not heard. Yes, you can find it in a few places in the Bible. Look for it. My point is that if we are seeking the Lord's counsel here, and things that are taking place, yes, we do need to look in the mirror. What part of me is that is maybe undisturbing to the Lord? And maybe sometimes I need somebody who is close to me that doesn't judge me for who I am and is willing to say, hey, brother, this is what I've seen in you. Is this an area that might be a challenge for you? You know, these are the things that will actually lift us up and empower us through God's power, okay, because it's through our weaknesses. As the scripture had mentioned earlier, it's through our weaknesses. That's where his power is perfected. Wow. So what I'm going through, what I end up thinking is the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life, may end up being the best thing that's ever happened to hear somebody else hear it. And that's where all of a sudden God uses all these things that were meant to destroy us to glorify him.
And isn't that the answer in the cry that we have of why is this happening? It's because it's for our own good.
Yeah.
Only God would know that that experience would bring the refinement or the commitment or whatever label you want to put on it that needed it. That's what I do find in some of these challenges, that they are, it's not one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
Only God knows which event or experience you need to experience for it to take you to your knees so that you press into him.
Hmm.
But we do find ourselves from time to time, I even do myself, find myself being a little bit discouraged, like, okay, what did I do wrong? Only to revisit the 1 Peter 4:12 that says, don't be surprised at this stuff that's going to happen to you.
Yep.
Rather than put all the focus, which is part of what I told this brother, all the focus on all of that, how about just getting back to the basics of this stuff will happen? It's going to happen.
It all leads to us becoming mature in Christ. Our relationship with him is going to grow even stronger when we get through this. See, we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yes.
Okay, we're not camped out there. Sometimes we think that we're camped out there. Don't camp out there. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 23 is a good psalm to be able to read, brother. Read it verse by verse, slowly. It will help remind you of who's really in control of all things. Good topic, bro.
Yeah.
This is nothing wrong with this at all. It's all good stuff. How about you pray for our brothers?
Be happy to. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that the words that were shared today would just strike the hearts and minds of those men that needed to hear it, that they would be strengthened and empowered and pass that on to others and glorify your kingdom through these things. Thank you, Lord, for the challenges. In your precious name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom.